them as we open God's Word this morning and let Him speak to our hearts. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Follow along as I read, and then we'll have a word of prayer. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, 'Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" Let's pray. Lord, we ask that You'd bless now the message this morning. Help me as I preach. Please use me as Your instrument and as Your vessel to accomplish Your purpose for us being here today. I pray most of all, if there be someone here today that has never received Christ as their Savior, I pray, Holy Spirit, that You'd move upon their heart, cause them to realize their need of Jesus, cause them to realize that without Christ there is no hope, cause them to realize that Jesus came to die and pay for their sin, and today they would put their faith and trust in the risen Savior. For each of us that is here this morning, Lord, that have made that decision and have put our trust in You, might the message be an encouragement to us. Might it draw us closer to You. For we ask all this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I was preparing this message this past week, I was thinking, we really live in busy times, don't we? I mean, people seem to be very, very, very busy. Even here in the Berkshires. You know, as most of you knew, I grew up in New Jersey, about 30 minutes out of New York City. That's a busy place to live. If people are coming and going and coming and going, and it's just the way that it is. But perhaps the busiest place, I think, or one of the busiest places I ever was in Hong Kong. And many years ago, my wife and I, we won a trip to Hong Kong, and we spent, a little over a week there in Hong Kong. And that was a very busy place, teeming with people, going to and fro and to and fro. But yet, even here, it's busy. We can be very busy. It seems, even with all the modern conveniences that we have, it just seems busy, 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 busy. And I want you to think about that. It's part of our culture, I think. And we rush to and fro. Well, we're going to see that there's someone here in the text as we've read through this, Martha, who's very busy. And really what she's doing is not, there's nothing wrong with what she's doing. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes as well. But I want you to understand something. Who these people are and where this is taking place. This is taking place in the small village of Bethany, not far from Jerusalem. And this is the same Mary and Martha that had a brother. And their brother's name was Lazarus. And of course, in John chapter 11, Lazarus would be raised from the dead. And you remember what took place there in that account when Lazarus died and Jesus comes 4 days after he had been buried. And forgive me, I forgot whether it was Mary or Martha there that said, "Lord, if You had been here earlier, our brother would have lived." And of course, Jesus spoke and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus came forth. He was resurrected from the dead. But here we have Mary and Martha in their house. There is no mention here of Lazarus. He may have been there. He may not have been there. But the focus is on Mary and Martha. And of course, the focus is on Jesus. So as I outline this message, I really put it in the form, the outline, of five questions. And so I'm going to ask you these questions as we go through this outline this morning and let it speak to your heart. So you notice this in verse 38. You look at it again with me. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. So let me just stop there. And the first question I thought of as I was putting this message together, has Jesus entered your life? And if you're here this morning, the reality is whether, by the way, even if you're not a Christian and you're here this morning, because you're here, Jesus is now entering your life. And we were listening to Pastor Ethan in the adult Sunday school class this morning, and he was reminding us that there are people in whose life Jesus enters and they reject Jesus. But Jesus enters into people's lives. The Bible says that he has come to seek and to save them which were lost. We remember from, we'll look on your handout if you will, Luke chapter 10 and verse 1 from last week's message. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. As if he sent these 70 out, two by two, to go into these villages and to prepare these villages for the coming of the Lord. Almost as if to break ground. And the Lord, if you just go back a few verses, I made mention of this last week. Look in chapter 10 and look at verse 10. He said to these 70, "But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you." So the point I'm just making there is even there are times that Jesus enters into different places and different people's lives, and they don't really want anything to do with Jesus. But when we think of it this morning, has he entered into your life? And he enters into the life here of Mary, and he enters into the life of Martha, and into the life of this village, the village of Bethany. And we're reminded, there's two sub-points that I put on the handout. The first is, he enters into our life and there's a union that's established as believers. Amen? When we accept Christ as our Savior. Are you with me? Amen? So we call upon, the Lord comes into our lives. The Lord helps us to understand. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand that we're sinners. The Holy Spirit brings conviction to our heart. And we call upon the name of the Lord and we accept Christ as our Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you're here this morning and you've never called upon Jesus Christ to be your Savior, that's why he came. He came to die for the sins of the world. He came to die for your sin, and he came to die for my sin. And when he hung on the cross 2,000 years ago, all of our sin was placed upon Jesus, and he was buried in the ground, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead, victorious over sin and victorious over death. And for so many of us, we heard that message. We understood that we were sinners. We understood that we needed a Savior. And we entered into a union with Jesus Christ. But now the second sub-point is this. As believers. And really this morning, the message that I'm preaching is geared for believers. So we enter into a union, but then there's communion, meaning our fellowship, our discipleship with the Lord. He so desires to have that fellowship and have that communion with us. And so he enters into our life, but that then starts this communion. We walk with the Lord. He promises that, and he desires that we recognize that. He promises us that he would never leave us nor forsake us, that he is with us always, even until the end of the world. It's an unbreakable union, but there is a fellowship that the Lord desires that you and I have with him. And so the Lord enters into this home in Bethany, the home of Martha. Now look at verse 39. "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." So Martha receives him into her house, and there's Mary sitting at his feet. You know, the Bible says that Jesus says this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." You know, I believe with all my heart that every day the Lord is knocking at our heart's door saying, "Listen, I want to spend the day with you. I want to spend time with you. I want you to be and recognize that I am with you all throughout the day." So how do you receive Him as a believer each day? Is He received into your life as a guest, or is He received into your life as a family member? Because He is a family member, amen? You know, we call one another brothers and sisters in Christ. But is He a guest or is He a family member? You know, guests come and visit. I know when we visit my mom in Florida, I've often said this, especially when all the kids were home, and there was my mom and my stepfather, Bob, when he was still alive. And so there they live in a condominium in a quiet place in Florida. And then all of a sudden, every spring, like locusts, me and my eight kids and my wife show up. So my mother would always say, "I'm glad to see you come, but now I'm glad to see you go." But we are family. But and Jesus is family. And is the door always open? I also said this to my kids. When Ethan, and they probably don't remember this, but when Ethan and Deborah got married, I said to them, "Ethan, Deborah," they got married and they were living in Bennington. And I said this, at least for the first year, I said, "Your mother and I want you to know that we will never come to your house unless you invite us to come. But that you are always welcome to come to our house." And we did that because we wanted to make sure, it was their first year, they had privacy. And then when Aaron and Kristen got married, I said, "Kristen, you are always welcome. Aaron, take about 5 years." And, you know, I didn't say that. Not true. Not true. But I think I told them the same thing. And, you know, then after a while, and now that they have grandkids, so we just stop by whenever we really want to at this point, and too bad, tough luck. It's family. The door's always open. Let's be careful that we don't close the door on Jesus, amen? We need to be careful of that. And there's Mary, and she's sitting at His feet, and she's listening. And you know, when Jesus traveled, He traveled with the apostles. So I'm assuming that Martha she's tending to the needs of not only Jesus, but she's tending to the needs of the apostles. But there's Mary. And she's there sitting at His feet. She's listening. That little phrase there, "she heard His word," it has the idea of sitting under a scholar and hearing His word. It's the same phrase that's used of Paul sitting at the feet of Gamaliel in the book of Acts. And Mary is just so intent and so tuned in and so just focused on everything that Jesus is saying. Receiving it with all readiness, receiving it with a submissive attitude, she is just feasting on His word. And that's how you and I should receive God's word. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Where John 14, 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto me and make our abode with him." It's the idea of Jesus entering into our life and you and I receiving Him, not only on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night, but Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, whether we're at home, whether we're at work, whether we're out shopping, whether we're taking part in our different activities. Just receiving Him. And there's Mary, listening. I said in Wednesday night, in our Wednesday night Bible study, you know, often today people are looking for Jesus in the miraculous. Well, I have really tried in my Christian walk to not look at Jesus in the miraculous. I thought about this. Pastor Ethan preached a message several Sunday nights ago, and it was, I think the title of the message was The Miraculous and the Mundane, or maybe it was the Mundane and the... I'm just saying this. Don't always be looking for Jesus in some great miraculous. Look for Jesus in the mundane things of life. The little things. Because if we're just only looking for the miraculous, we're always looking for some big event. Listen, just having Jesus in your life is a big event. So there's Mary, just eating up every word. Now let's switch back to Martha. And here's a lesson for you and I this morning. Martha was cumbered about with much serving. That word cumbered, it means to be overloaded, to be burdened, to be hindered. She was what appears to be doing the right thing. She's trying to take care of Jesus and the apostles and to serve. But you know, when you think about this here, and she's to be commended for that. I don't think that she's trying to do this to impress Jesus. I think out of a genuine heart, she just wants to serve him, and it's her home, and she's showing a hospitality. And so I guess what I'm saying is that sometimes we can even be cumbered about by doing what we think is the right thing to do. And we can become overloaded, whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing in our lives. You know, so many activities going on. When you're raising a family, there's school activities. And listen, none of these things are in and of themselves, I'm saying, are wrong. But there's school activities, there's sports activities, there are family activities, there are church activities, and you have to decide and you have to make priorities. And, you know, I love sports and I enjoy sports, and my kids were involved in sports. But I've observed over time that in some families that sports becomes such a god that that's everything. Everything. I love the story that Jim Thompson tells of the Joe Wolf Field, and when he was in Little League here in North Adams, when he was a little boy, and that was a long time ago, right, Jim? Jim is how old are you, Jim? 70 what? 73. Well, he doesn't look it. You're aging good, really good. But when he's told the story several times, and I've used it. It's a great example. When he was a little boy in the Little League in North Adams, his coach told him, was Joe Wolf your coach? Yes. So the field's named after his little league coach. His coach told him, boys, we will never play a game on Sunday morning, and if they schedule us to play a game on Sunday morning, we will forfeit the game. And did you? Praise the Lord. But you understand what I'm saying. Many of the things that I'm mentioning, my kids played Little League, and I'm not saying any of these things in and of themselves are wrong, but you understand I'm saying we can get so cumbered about, so busy doing things. That, and I should have, these three sub-points, if I had it to do over again, I would have put the diligence first. Martha's being diligent. I mean, she's really working hard here. But her diligence has caused a distraction. It's a distraction. And she's frustrated. She says even in her frustration in verse 40, she says, don't you care, Jesus? Don't you care that here I am working my fingers to the bone. This is the Eric Malchuk version. I am working my fingers to the bone here. Don't you care? And my sister Mary, she's just sitting there doing absolutely nothing. Well, she wasn't doing absolutely nothing. It's been my experience in pastoring this church all of these years that we've had people come and they want to get involved in ministry right away. And we're glad for their desire to get involved in ministry. But you know, especially for a brand new Christian, it's so important that they just sit at Jesus' feet and learn the Word of God. Learn what the Bible says. And there are people who just will get busy. I want to teach this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want... And that's kind of a Martha mentality. It's great that people want to be involved. But on the other hand, there needs to be time to sit at Jesus' feet. I also said this, it was actually a quote from the Wednesday night Bible study. Jesus is more interested in what He is doing in us than what we are doing for Him. Okay? Jesus is more interested in what He's doing inside of us than what we're doing for Him. And then Warren Wiersbe, in his commentary with regards to this, said this. I wrote this down in my Bible many, many years ago. If serving Christ makes us difficult to live with, then there's something terribly wrong. Martha is upset. And it's coming out. And so, certainly, as she comes to Jesus and she voices her complaint, she is certain, she is sure that Jesus is going to take her side. And sometimes, because we're doing things for the Lord and we're active in the Lord's work, we can be so self-deceived into thinking that some of the choices and decisions and the actions that we're taking are approved of God when God really hasn't said to move forward at all. So she thinks for sure here, Jesus is going to take my side. Can't you see it, Jesus? It's obvious what's happening here. And then Jesus, in verse 41, He gives her an answer. And this was not the answer that Mary or Martha expected. It's like people oftentimes, they have things going on in their lives and... they have to make a decision and they have to make a choice, and they're not going to come and ask the pastor. You know why? Because they already know what the pastor's position is, and they already know it's probably going to be different than the decision they've already made. And never forget this. God's answer will never conflict with God's Word. Never will God's answer conflict with God's Word. So Mary comes, or Martha comes, sure that Jesus is going to take her side. And I really think Jesus spoke to her very kindly and compassionately and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. She was overloaded. And by the way, we can be overloaded with things that we are doing, and we can be overloaded with things on our mind. I had to fly to Florida a week ago to be with my mom when she was ill and my sister was there. Well, we took the opportunity. My mom is 86. She's in failing health because she's 86. But the reality is it's all in the Lord's hands. She could easily live another 5 years. And she could live another 5 minutes. She just has these things going on. But we took the opportunity to talk about many things. Her funeral. Her will. Our responsibilities. My sister's, mine, my brother's. How everything would be taken care of. 3 days of that, your mind just gets cumbered with things. And so it was very hot down in Florida. The heat index was like 100 degrees. But I said at 3:30 in the afternoon, we had a meet with different people and lawyers and things like that, but we got it all settled. But I had to take a walk. And I didn't care. I just walked. She doesn't live far from the beach, and it's about you could take about a 2-mile walk down to the beach, down to one end and back, and just to kind of let all the cumbrance disappear and talk to the Lord. But do we listen for an answer from the Lord? And are we agreeable? And are we disagreeable? In Luke chapter 6, verse 46, when I was preaching back there, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Jesus asked that question, and then he taught the parable. You remember the parable. The wise man builds his house upon the what? What is it? The wise man builds his house upon the? And the foolish man builds his house upon the? Right. And so Mary, or Martha, he says, Jesus says, you're all worked up. You got so much going on here. But one thing is needful, and you're missing out on the one thing. You know, if it was me, I would have said, Martha, it's great. She probably prepared a tremendous meal. She probably, with all the other things that she did, it was probably all wonderful. But she's so cumbered about, she's so involved, she's got so much going on. And Jesus says to her, Mary has chosen that good part. Isn't it interesting? But Martha, through all of her activity, wanted Mary to be removed from sitting under the teaching of Jesus. And let's be careful, because we have an enemy that's real. Really, we battle against the flesh. We battle against the world in which we live in. We battle against Satan. And we can get so cumbered about, and even some things we think that we're doing right, but if they're taking us away from sitting and spending time with Jesus, if it's taking us away from sitting at Jesus' feet, if it's taking us away from just getting in our prayer closet and just praying and spending time each day with the Lord, then Pastor Ainsworth used to say, if you're too busy, then you're too busy. There's some things, in other words, you just need to get out of your life so that you can spend some time with the Lord. Or if your mind is so, and today, with all of the electronics and all of the computers and all of the Facebook, and talk about distraction, you know, the big thing is don't text as you drive. People have literally been walking down the street texting, walk out into the street and have been hit by a car. They're distracted. So I'm saying to you this morning, I'm just trying to get this point across. Let's be careful that even some of the good things that we do aren't so distracting that the good things then become bad things. Because it takes us away from sitting under the teaching and preaching of God's Word. Whether we're talking about here in the local church, or whether we're talking about our time of devotion, whether we're talking about talking to our children and grandchildren about the things of God, so many things drawing us away. So many things that cumber our minds. The one thing is the main thing. We can get all worked up sometimes about our finances and about our family issues or our friends' issues or whatever, and we just need to sit at Jesus' feet and let the peace that passeth all understanding take hold. That's that old hymn. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus each and every day. I don't know if that's how that goes. So, I think Martha was probably shocked. Oh! But I think she got the point. The one thing was the main thing. Let the peace, Paul said this as we finish this morning. Look at on your hand, Colossians chapter 3, verses 16. That's actually 15 and 16. I got that backwards. But, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which Also, ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Make sure you're spending time sitting at Jesus' feet, letting Him minister to you, and you're not so cumbered about with things that you're distracted. It's good every now and then just to take an account of each and every day, and each and every week, and what's going on in your life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. So this morning, as we conclude this service, as I mentioned earlier in the message, primarily this message was for those who have already put their faith and trust in Christ. But as I also mentioned, there's a union that each person can enter into. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, that's what it means to be born again. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he shall never enter the kingdom of God. We're all born into this world as sinners. We have a sinful nature. Jesus came to die and He came to pay for our sins on the cross. He was buried and He rose from the dead, just as He said He would. And when you and I admit to Christ that we're a sinner, when we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we call upon Him, whosoever, the Bible says, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so this morning, if you've never received Christ as your Savior, you can do that right where you sit. And in your heart, call upon the Lord. Lord, I admit to You that I'm a sinner, and I do believe, Jesus, that You died and You paid for my sin. And today I call upon You to be my Savior. The very best I know how, I give my life to You. This morning, with every head bowed and with every eye closed, maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you've never done that. And today you called upon Jesus. Would you do this? I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if today you ask Jesus to be your Savior, would you just slip up your hand quickly and put it down? I'd like to be praying for you, that you would continue to grow in the faith. And I'd like to be an encouragement to you on a personal basis. Anyone at all this morning? Father, thank You again for the opportunity that You've given us to be here today. As always, thank you, Lord, for Your goodness to us, Your mercy and grace. Help us to be a people that just sit at Your feet, that want to learn, want to love You more each and every day, that lean upon You with all of the cares that come into our lives. Bless now this closing hymn of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.